You are tuned in to Studio22Live.tv, podcast episode number 57 with CEO of Main Social Media, Rohan Smith. Studio22Live. Welcome to Studio22Live.tv podcast, where we discuss valuable topics, interview amazing people, sharing their stories and valuable lessons learned to educate, impact, and empower lives across the world.
Yeah, I'm ready. Come on. All right.
Welcome back to Studio22Live.tv podcast. I'm your host, Fred Fitzgerald, and I'm so glad you guys are back with us. Listen, guys, I am just excited. It's the weekend. It's time for y'all to get ready. It's time for y'all to, you know, do what you need to do to be able to have fun this weekend. Take some time out with your family. Do what you need to do because you work hard all week. You know you work hard, and you know you deserve a break, or you deserve to take a break, or you deserve to do something for yourself, right? So that's what you got to do. So I just thank God for just tuning in to us. You can hit us up at 610-466-5461. You can also forget that. I don't know why I tell y'all to call me. You're not going to call. You can even text that number. Just text us. You know, if you got some questions, some ideas, if you like to be on the show, we'd love to have you on the show. If you're doing some positive things, some great things, if you know somebody's doing some great things, we would love to interview you on the show. So just text us, 610-466-5461. You can also hit us up on Instagram, of course. You can hit us up on Facebook. Our page is Studio22Live.tv. Twitter, Studio22Live.tv. That's STUDEO22Live.tv. Now, if you try to hit us on Facebook yesterday, you might have had a problem. Can you believe that? Facebook was down yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I was saying to myself, what is the world coming to? Well, here's the deal. Facebook should have been Facebook being down, Instagram being down, because you know Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, they're all the same company. They're all owned by Facebook. So they were down yesterday, and I tell you what, that was, for some of y'all, that was probably scary, but it also should be a wake-up call, especially for business owners. Do not rely on Facebook to communicate with people. We got to get back to being able to go back to 1986, pick up the phone and call somebody. I got a great show for y'all today. I got the CEO of Main Social Media, Mr. Rohan Smith. Some of y'all may know him as the incredible Don Cortex. Let me tell you something. I've been watching this brother for years and knowing him for years. He's doing some great things, and I got him on the show. He's got some great, awesome new things going on, and I couldn't wait to interview him. I couldn't wait to ask some questions that, you know, he's such a successful, he's a beast. He's a successful in every area of business, and so I was so glad to have him on the show. So coming up next, without any further ado, my man, Rohan Smith, a.k.a. Don Cortex. Stay tuned. Don't go nowhere. Coming up next on the Studio22Live.tv podcast. For my listeners, especially the ones out in UK, thank you so much for giving us all the comments about the show. Thank you for being with us for the last 4 years. We've been doing some great things all across the world. My special guest that I have on the show today, I can guarantee you, for all you business people and entrepreneurs and people who are doing promoters and doing events, and also if you're just interested in some great people with some great knowledge and just got a great story, my guest, Mr. Don Cortex, is on the show today. Yes, I have the Don Cortex, Mr. Rohan Smith. I'm excited to have him on. So I'm going to basically read you his bio, and then we're going to welcome him to the show. Rohan Smith, also known as Don Cortex, is a businessman and entrepreneur who started out doing events and music in high school, and over the last 20 years has turned that into a successful business and owns several companies. He has done over 2,000 plus successful events with hundreds of thousands in attendance and millions in sales. And currently, he is focused on helping businesses grow. And with that impressive bio, I want to welcome Mr. Rohan Smith, a.k.a. Don Cortex, to the Studio22Live.tv podcast. Welcome to the show. What's up, Don?
Hey, 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 how you doing? I'm so glad and happy to be aboard.
that bio was pretty good. See, it helps out, right? You can use that anytime you want. That's free. You can use that for free, man. That's all you.
I appreciate it. I need a soundbite.
There you go. There you go, man. So listen, man, we're going to get right into it, man. I just appreciate all you've been doing, man. I just wanted to kind of just highlight you, man, because there's not a lot of times where we get a chance to highlight people that's doing some great things. And in this in this culture right now, I remember I ran to you at the networking event, man, and I was just so glad to see you, man. So I'm glad you were able to come on. I'm honored to be able to have this opportunity to have you on the show because I know you're super busy. But tell us about your background and kind of how it all got started, man.
I mean, thank you. I'm happy to be for you to have me on the show. I appreciate it so much. It's a lot. Been through a lot over the last several years, growing this business to where it is right now. But started off in high school, some parties for friends, get-togethers, house parties, then moved over to, renting venues. I got into the music industry, believe it or not. I wanted to be a rapper.
Okay. I can relate.
I wanted to be a rapper. But I quickly found out I wasn't that good of a rapper, you know?
We all do.
I was a good producer.
Yes.
And then back in the day, you had to actually, pay to actually perform if you weren't known. Yeah. So I had the guys and we were trying to pay to perform. But the problem was that, when we were trying to pay to perform, the promoters who were promoting the parties, it was hardly anybody showing up. So they weren't really good promoters.
Right.
And so we're paying for nothing. It's like, well, what's the point? So, I'm like, I'll promote the parties. I'm good at that. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing it since, I left high school. So
wow.
I decided to go ahead and start promoting the parties. And lo and behold, we were packing out the parties and didn't have to pay anyone anymore. And the buzz blew up. And unfortunately, some people got big headed, felt as though when we had, we were offered a contract with a large label and they wanted the money to go certain ways and it didn't really work that way. And so the label part, this band, dispersed.
Yeah.
And, I had all the equipment. I had, the name out there for the parties, but I had no more artists to actually produce another more music. And I was like, forget this. I'll go ahead and continue doing the parties because that was bringing in, thousands of dollars a night.
Yes.
And so, that's how pretty much, my lane, my path, became clear. Mm. Was like, hey, listen, I'm great at this. Everyone loves it. And we pack out the house and I started doing events. Now, fast forward, thousands of events later, I got for spiritual reasons, I wanted to get out the club game. I wanted to get out the party game and, just the wild, crazy lifestyle. And I said, what else can I do? Mm-hmm. What can I do that's going to earn this type of money? And I said, let me help other businesses grow their business. Let me take that same marketing background that I know how to market and get someone to take action. And let me go ahead and see if I can develop a business that's going to help other businesses do what I know how to do. And so I formed Main Social Media, full service marketing firm, design and marketing firm. And we have several different intellectual properties that we put out and several different sites that we put out that actually help businesses accomplish what they want to accomplish. And that's actually been in business now for 2 going on 3 years. Recently, switched over in 2014 is actually when I left the club business alone.
Nice.
And I took a year off just to see what I wanted to do and then formed Main Social Media.
Nice.
And so we've been doing that ever since. We have several clients around the world, helping businesses grow, doing social media management, marketing, everything. I mean, we have, if a person has a business and they want to grow their business, they can just reach out to us. I mean, literally, like even companies like Staples and Vistaprint, people go to them because they don't know there are other options with better pricing, better quality, that we actually deliver. We have one of our largest print contracts. We have a large print contract, with one of the largest print manufacturers in the United States. And so our prices are beyond competitive with any major brand.
Man, that's incredible, man. That sounds like you went through a lot of trial and error, a lot of mistakes, and then also you had an aha moment, it looks like, that allowed you to recognize, okay, this is what I'm really, really good at. And so it sounds like you found your lane.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in marketing, I love two things. I love marketing. I love getting the message out, whatever the message is, something positive that's going to impact people's lives. And then at the same time, I love teaching.
Yep.
I love to, it's like when you learn something, it's not your knowledge to keep. It's you need to disperse it. You need to get it out there so other people can benefit as well. Right. I don't want to pass away with all this knowledge I have within myself. I want to share it with the world and help others grow and be successful as well.
Wow, that's awesome. Let's I tell you what, there has to be a backstory to this. Take us back a little bit. Where'd you grow up at? Where were you born and raised?
Well, originally I'm from Jamaica.
Get out of here. Yeah. Okay, Jamaica. Jamaica, man. No worries, man.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, there you go. There it goes. Wow, from Jamaica. So how did you come over here come about?
Family's here. About 90% of my family's here.
Okay.
So I came over here ever since I was 7.
Wow. Strict parents?
Say that again?
Yeah, strict parents.
Not really. Mainly is my mom.
Okay.
My mother and I, majority of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And she still some valleys in me. And we went through a lot as far as getting acclimated. And ultimately, I really can't say I had a rough childhood or anything crazy of that nature, because she actually did a very good job. And I had a normal childhood. I won't say it was rough or anything of that nature.
Yeah.
It was just family instilled a lot of different things. I mean, she's always had an entrepreneurial heart. But she couldn't really fulfill her entrepreneurial dream just because she had always, maintained a regular job.
Yes.
So that way they were always, there's food on the table and a roof over your head.
Yes, sir.
So, but that enabled me ever since I was 11. Actually, I went to school here. I went to, Warner Elementary.
Shout out to Warner.
Nice. Yeah, went to Warner Elementary. Shout out to Warner. They had this thing back in the day that changed my life, I think. Really sparked everything in me. Like, it just radiated. It was what was called Warner Corner. I don't know if you know about that.
Warner Corner.
But that's... Yeah, Warner Corner. That's where you actually got a chance. They gave you some fake money and everything else.
Oh.
And it was like this... Yeah, you had a chance to kind of make your own business, and then people were able to come and purchase your. You had a certain amount of money that you could spend on your business, and then you had a certain amount of money you could to generate off your business. Then at the end of the month or whatever it was, when they did like 4 different sessions of that, then you were able to purchase things at a big. Bidding auction.
Wow.
in the auditorium. And that was awesome. I mean, because I loved it. I was like, I was just like addicted. I was like, oh my gosh. And we did very well.
Right.
So I literally went out there. I think that's when they had like Super Soakers and all that back in the day.
Oh yeah.
And so I got a chance to myself and my partner. We did the best out of the fifth grade class.
Nice.
And so when I went there, I was able to pretty much buy and get everything I wanted. So I went out of like 4 or 5 different things. And I was like, this is it.
Over there? What was your main product in that? Because I had something over at Burnett. It was called Mini Society. That's what I remember. We had the fake money. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't even remember. It's been so long ago. The whole time, what did we sell?
I know we had sticks. We had Rice Krispies. We would make these popcorn balls, popsicle sticks. You know, remember the old plastic popsicle sticks? You put them in there, and then you pull them out and take those there. So, okay. But either way.
I think ours was some kind of game.
Okay.
Because I know in my mind, I was like, okay, how can I take the one product and then resell it over and over again without having to. That was my whole philosophy for doing business back then.
At that age, you had that mindset? Oh, my gosh.
I was like, because they only gave you a certain amount of money that you could spend.
Sure,
so you
sure.
could only go, if you bought the full candy, you could only buy the candy and sell it for so much. And then people were going, like, I could only make this much money selling candy, so I need to make an infinite amount of money. So I had to figure out a way that I could sell, do a game or something that I could sell the game over and over again, but use the same products. Not everybody would win, but they had a real chance to win, you know, and make it fun. So I can't remember exactly what it was, though.
So you had the first residual income business model, even back then.
Technically, yeah. I guess you said, I never thought of it like that, but yeah.
I mean, just keep selling it. I say, hey, there's your Apple phone. Just upgrade, change a couple things, and boom. Wow, that's incredible, man. Who was your biggest inspiration? I heard you mention your mom. Who was your biggest inspiration at that age?
At that age, I would say it really just would be my mom at that age.
Okay.
My mom, was my biggest inspiration. I really didn't have, I would say, a lot of role models. My mom and my uncle, I would say. My uncle, he passed away now, but he was an entrepreneur as well. He was actually one of the first black CPAs in Delaware. His name was David Johnson.
Okay, David Johnson.
That's my uncle.
Wow.
And so, you know, he was very effective as far as coaching me through a lot of different things growing up as well. But it came from somewhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I really didn't have a lot of people to look at. Back then, I wasn't really reading books. Mm-hmm. It was just, I think, maybe instinctual. Because I can't think of one person that I looked at and said, okay, I want to really just be like this person. But I was just always around entrepreneurs. Like, I grew up wanting to... always make my own money. Like, I always had to make money. I couldn't be broke.
But I never,
you see other kids, you know, growing up as well, as far as, you know, unfortunately, they're selling the wrong thing.
No doubt.
And I didn't want to do that, per se. So, I had to find other ways to make money and have the nice sneakers and have everything else. So it was either doing construction, like helping out demolition, or it was a little landscape company. Yeah. So it was always
something that was yours. It was never a thing where you wouldn't apply for a job. It was always something that you've done. So that was instilled in you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did apply for a job. I have worked regular companies.
Okay.
I did. Like, my first job, I think, was at Vital Statistics.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Was that Newport?
No, it was Newport. It was in Belvedere.
Belvedere.
So that was, like, one of my first positions, and then I used to work at Wendy's.
Okay, yeah. I was at McDonald's on Route 9. Don't get twisted. It's my first job.
After that, I did get into corporate America. I was in banking for a while.
Okay, wow.
I was in banking. It was called Household Bank. You know what I'm saying? I was in banking for a while. But after that, I couldn't do it anymore. Mm. You know, so it was just, you know, after banking, they laid us all off. And I was like, at first, that's when I was still doing the clubs, too. Yeah. So I had a club business, making money doing that. And then I was in banking as well. So I had corporate money and club money.
Sure.
And then when they laid us all off, I was just like, everyone's like, oh, I gotta go get a job. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm thinking to myself, I don't want no job. The only reason I was staying there is because of the benefits,
That's right.
So I was like, man, if I can buy my own benefits, I mean, I don't need no job. So ever since then, I've been self-employed.
Well, you know, a lot of people are in a position. I still work a job, been working 30 years. I got several businesses as well. But there's something about having control of your future that just, you don't want to put that in anybody's hands. Is that kind of correct? What's your mindset about that?
I mean, definitely. That's my mindset. I mean, as I said, having a job, I had my own business and I was working a job. And I don't think I'll probably be still working that job right now today had they not laid us off.
Right.
The problem is, you know, I was making a decent amount of money per hour, and that, you know, because I was doing collections, you know, yep. collections pays you commission plus yes. you get your regular thing. So mm. I think it was crazy because I was making like $60,000 a year just in commission.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Just in commission. Yeah, oh, you
that's
was crushing.
It came down.
There's, yeah, there's a lot of people there's a lot of people getting a call on Sunday morning from this cat right here.
But I mean, listen, they used to pay well, and they came did. Out in the paper. Yeah, they came out in the paper with the banks overall right before, you know, we went through the crisis of how much they were paying certain execs and how much they were paying certain people.
Yeah.
And I was like, that kind of changed it, you know, the bonus structures, and it kind of dropped down a lot.
Right.
But, I mean, it was good. So, you know, that plus the regular pay, mm-hmm. you know, you can't get mad at that.
No, you can't.
But, I mean, like you said, having control, though, because at the end of the day, I was considered the number one of the top collectors in the United States of America,
right.
On paper, mm-hmm. and they still leave me off with everybody else.
That it just blows my mind, because to me, I guess when we're younger, they kind of feed into the fact that we're hungry, we have a higher desire, and they boost us up and they give us all these accolades. But it's amazing uh-huh. that if I'm that important, why is my name first to leave if I'm that important? And I think that's probably the aha moments I think that we all get. And if young people, you're listening right now, this is good, because we're kind of giving you what can happen to you. So don't get too tied into the title and position. Continue to build your skills, because just in case, nobody is expendable. Is that about right?
Nobody is. I mean, the thing about it is nobody is irreplaceable. Everybody right. can be replaced.
Right.
So I say it was a book. He talks about it a lot. Robert Kiyosaki,
yes.
Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Yes.
And
great
he, and
great
the people. Yeah, he kind of talks about it a little bit. And one thing he said in there, which is true, or just any business owner will know that, you know, a lot of times businesses don't look at their employees as assets. They look at them as liabilities.
Wow.
You know, so it's like the first thing they want to do if they're having a slow period is cut expenses. And the quickest way you can cut expenses is to reduce your workforce.
Wow.
Workforce is one of the largest expenses that most people have.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless you found some kind of way to make yourself valuable that no one else can replace you with, as I said, anybody can replace. It may be harder to get you replaced. The harder it is to have you replaced, then the less likely they are to let you go first.
Absolutely.
But if you're doing a position that they can get, like I think what happened back then, and what was it, 08, mm-hmm. 08 to 2010, 11,
yeah.
Between that time frame, is a lot of banks started pushing jobs overseas.
Yes, true. I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, they started pushing jobs overseas. So at first they were saying, oh, well, don't worry, your job's okay. We're just doing them to do the work that's easy for anybody else to do. And at that point in time, I think it was 08 when they started that, when the mm-hmm. bubble popped.
Yep.
And I was just like, you know what? It's going to be a matter of time before they take the rest of the job that we're doing
that's
and actually
right.
push them over there.
Absolutely.
And that's where you can see it. It's all about the cost.
Yep.
The cost that it costs you to do business. So when you're at a job, you don't control your own destiny. Getting back to what you're saying, you really don't. You're in the mercy of someone else, and it's okay. I think the world needs different people to do different things. Everybody can't be their own boss, because then we have no employees and mm-hmm. the work we get done. So the economy itself would not, you know, sustain. So we need different people in different places. But if it's possible, if it's in your heart, to go ahead and take on that challenge of being your own boss or starting a side business to have some extra security,
mm-hmm.
I would definitely recommend anyone to do that.
Absolutely. Now, I'm gonna ask you one quick question. I think is gonna really. This is something that everybody always talks about when they ask regarding. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, man. But I'm afraid that big word, FEAR. Somebody wants to be able to start a business or at least have something part-time. Not saying leave your job, yo. Don't be crazy. But, you know, just be able to start a business. But fear is the thing that cripples most people. How do you handle fear when it creeps up in your life when you're building your business?
I mean, everyone has some type of fear. If you know, fear is a survival is great for survival. It actually makes you check and recheck what you're doing. However, you know, is a thing called courage, and courage is acting in spite of fear. Mm. And so you have to have courage and say, hey, listen, you know, I know that this is a big step for me, or this is different for me, but if you don't change what you're doing, if you don't try something new, you never do something new.
That's true.
If you don't act in spite of the fear that you have, then you'll never do anything. So a lot of time I talk to people with different personality types all the time, and I face that because here with my company, I'm at a point in position right now where we're looking to hire on more people, but it's not the traditional hourly situation. It's more so on the commission aspect. So we see that all the time. Mm-hmm. And one thing in my journey, one thing I did do was I got my insurance license. So nice. I used to work with a company, it was only for 3 years, but while simultaneously while I had other things going on. But what that taught me was the recruiting process and actually the different people's personality types.
Yes.
And so I'm grateful for that because actually I built a $1.2 million life insurance business from scratch.
Oh, beautiful.
But we had to actually recruit.
Sure.
And during that recruiting process, we had to constantly sit down with people who were always scared to get their insurance license and say, oh, well, what if I don't make it? What if no one buys from me? What if no one does this or does that? So when you're looking for a business, a lot of times is, you know, your fears should also match the level of the business risk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to be cautious, but not too overly cautious. I give you an example. When I left the club business, I didn't talk about this earlier, in 2014, those are the 3 years that I simultaneously went ahead and did life insurance.
Right.
And so I was scared because, you know, I was like, you know what, I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to sit back for a year, not do anything. And so I, like, since I have this year, let me go ahead and just try to do something else different that's outside of my regular realm of doing things.
Your comfort zone. And absolutely.
Yeah. So let me just try that.
Yep.
So I was scared, but I went ahead and did it. And do you not know, like, this is zero experience in life insurance. My best week, in 1 week, I did $7,000.
Oh my goodness. And that's
$7,000.
And that's because you did it scared. Right?
Yeah, I was scared. I was like, yeah, this is, like, I'm leaving this because, you know what I'm saying? And I want to just, I had enough money saved up to where, though, I had at least 1 year to figure it all out.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And that's, most people don't have that. So they're scared of the fact that I took that leap of faith being scared.
Mm.
But it's even harder for some people to take that leap of faith being scared because they don't have that money saved up.
Right.
That was straight from the master's mouth. Master entrepreneur, my man, Mr. Rohan Smith, a.k.a. Don Cortex. That interview was absolutely phenomenal. He is the CEO of Main Social Media Marketing Solutions, helping small and large companies market online. For more information on Rohan Smith and Main Social Media, you can contact him at 302-268-6979 or email him at info@mainsocialmedia.com. That's mainsocialmedia.com. That interview was powerful. It was so amazing. He was dropping so many nuggets. So if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a young millennial, or if you're someone who's in the second half of your career, you want to go back and share this episode 57, with the CEO of Main Social Media, my man Rohan Smith, a.k.a. Don Cortex. He is a beast. He's an entrepreneur, super successful. Share this episode of the Studio22Live.tv podcast. You can subscribe to the Studio22Live.tv podcast now on Spotify, on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on Anchor, and several other channels online. Please share and like our page, Studio22Live.tv. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Studio22Live.tv. That's Studio22Live.tv. Don't forget, our special guest for next week is going to be Miss Shayna Nicole. I call her the Media Diva. She's the host of the In the Upper Room TV show on Channel 28. Coming up next Friday at 6 p.m. on the Studio22Live.tv podcast. See you guys next week.
Studio 22 Live. Thank you so much for listening to the Studio22Live.tv podcast. We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode. We strive to continue to add value to all the lives of all of our listeners, and we appreciate you for giving us time out of your day. Tune into the show every Friday, every single week. And don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Studio 22 Live TV. And make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and our YouTube channel. And you can send us your questions, birthday shoutouts, comments, and suggestions at 610-466-5461. And we will share them on the show. We are seeking sponsors for each one of our episodes. And if you have any events that you want us to promote, just contact us by email at studio22livetv@gmail.com. Thanks again for tuning in to the Studio22Live.tv podcast. Have a great week. Always positive. Always positive. Always on. Always on.